guess we do. Good evening and welcome to a Tuesday night installment of Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Jeff Bennett, your host here for the next hour. I just started to comment. It gets a little interesting sitting in with John and Bob for the last hour and sitting as much most of what I do, and that's okay. It's just enjoyable to listen once in a while, and John was talking to Stattmiller, talking to a gentleman in Arizona named John. I happen to have spoken with that man, John, earlier today, and I was really fascinated, John, talking about some of the reasons for owning gold and silver and you know, this ability to barter and maybe liquidate it when you've got a, you need your car fixed or you need your roof repaired. And I'm thinking, what do you mean, needing your roof repaired? Has John got a crystal ball? Because that's exactly what John in Arizona called me about, is liquidating some gold because he's in the middle of a roof repair. What a day this has been. Yeah, it's been a long day for me, and I've got many, many hours more to go before I sleep. I will be, tentatively, I'll be on with Robbie Noel tomorrow on the flip side for 2 hours, and be back here with Roger Sales tomorrow evening, and we are working on a very special program for tomorrow night. I will be with you live on Tuesday, and or on Thursday, I'm sorry, but it will be from the coastal waters of the Pacific as I head over to the snort some salt water for the weekend. I need it. You know, my wife and my granddaughter and our granddaughter and I went up north 2 weekends ago, less than a week and a half ago, for a quick couple of days, and it's just a lot of traveling. You got a little kid with you, and little things differ. A little 7-year-old, and you're more conscious about what she eats and when, and she's kind of like I am. When she's hungry right now. But my wife and I have not taken any time away by ourselves for over a year, and we're just going to run over to the San Diego area for a few days. My great aunt will be 99 years old this coming February, and we've not seen her for a while. So we need to go do the familial duties. Besides that, she's just such a sweetheart. And if I called her right now, I guarantee you we'd spend 5 minutes talking where she would sound like she's on her deathbed. And then she begins to perk up because she knows we're coming, and it's great. It's just really neat to have that. So anyway, you're all pretty much familiar with what the markets did today. You've been with us for the last 4 hours with the flip side and National Intel Report with Bob Chapman. Dow Jones Industrial closed up 45 points today. Oh, whoopee-doo. NASDAQ up. Everything was up across the board. Oil's down. Out at the pump. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608, 1-908-691-2608, or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back to tonight's Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Interesting, looking at just a series of quick headlines today. I did not get things posted on the site late last night. I just was whipped. I just had to go get some sleep. Still didn't get as much as I need, but, you know, sometimes that's all right. I got more than I usually get. Record U.S. poverty in 2010. 2010. Oh, my goodness, this year is almost three-quarters over. What do you think it's going to be this year? Then you got a disabled guy in Jersey earns a $15 million exposing the largest Medicaid fraud in history. Got to go take a look at that one, find out what that Medicaid fraud is. Also, some projections of what the double-dip recession will look like in 2011. Republicans are dismissing the tax cut for working Americans in favor of giveaways to corporations. I don't care what you do in D.C. The little guy, the average guy on the street is getting shafted. Every way you turn around, look at it. There's an ad in the Washington Times, the Obama's mysterious Connecticut Social Security number, an alleged forced birth certificate. Stuff going on up in Seattle. They're doing everything they can to just drive more and more jobs out of this nation, to end the job. Column up there about J.P. Morgan trapped short in silver, gold strongly bid. And, of course, the other interesting one of the day, once again, it seems to be the big story of the week. More and more discussion about Social Security. Of course, the Democrats are going to tell the public, oh, if you put that guy in, he's going to close Social Security, and we won't do that to you old people. Everybody's throwing darts at each other. Bachman, according to what I've heard, I didn't watch the debates last night, but Bachman actually grew a pair of cojones last night and pretty much nailed Rick Perry for the fraud that he is. Of course, the average idiot out there isn't going to pay one bit of attention just because she's a woman. Now, I don't like Bachman, but I really dislike Rick Perry. And they need to expose that fraud. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines the Ponzi scheme as, quote, an investment swindle in which some early investors are paid off with money put up by later ones in order to encourage more and bigger risk. Sounds like Social Security to me. Just what do you think? Of course, the Democrats are going to insist on those new so-called stimulus spending. When did a jobs package all of a sudden turn into a stimulus spending package? I don't think one has a darn thing to do with the other, but that's the way they're trying to sell it. Over the last month or so, I've taken segments of programs, and in some cases, entire programs, discussing the apparent racism that is being promulgated in this country. And much of it seems to be promulgated by not only this administration, but supporters and minions thereof, including our good friends at the CBC. No, that's not a new television network, my friends. CBC is the Congressional Black Caucus. This past weekend was very evidentiary of that, what I call racist mentality. Oh, we're going to call it reverse racism, if you don't mind. Anybody who happened to be watching Sunday's women's final at the U.S. Open tennis tournament was treated to an appalling display of temper on the part of Serena Williams, an exceedingly talented and gifted and unbelievably powerful tennis player, who, along with her sister, happened to be women of color. At the beginning of the second set, Williams was judged to have hindered her opponent by shouting, "Come on!" in the course of play. The point, and as it turned out, the game, was awarded to Williams' opponent, Samantha Stosur, who went on to win the match quite convincingly. Well, not willing to leave well enough alone, I don't know how much you know about tennis, but, you know, let's face it, all of this has been broadcast on all the news channels anyway, so there's no way you could have missed it. So she chooses not to leave it alone, and Williams badgered the chair umpire, Eva Esdaraki, during changeovers for what seemed like the rest of the match with remarks like, "Aren't you the one who screwed me over last time?" Apparently referring to her 2009 match versus Kim Clijsters at Doha, but at which Esdaraki did not umpire. "I promise you that's not cool," Williams continued to go on. "That's totally not cool. I totally despise you." And when the judge turned toward her during the exchange, Williams yelled, "Don't look at me. Don't even look at me. You're a hater, and you're just unattractive inside." Perhaps suggesting broader feelings of victimhood. Well, since the incident occurred, comment has been flying around the Internet, much of it negative toward Ms. Williams. Bloggers have referred to her as a poor sport, and worse. And some have suggested that her aggressive tirades are the product of a sense of racial resentment. Well, on the same day that this unfortunate incident occurred, another player on the national stage violated the ordinary rules of conduct with equally offensive behavior. During the nationally broadcast 9/11 ceremony from New York, Barack Hussein Obama stood there in a Bill Clinton pose, his nose perched high in the air, seemingly unmoved, even as others wept and bowed their heads in prayer. Now, it unto itself was a troubling and incongruous posture for the so-called leader of a nation commemorating the worst terrorist attack in American history. Obama's expression of remoteness and arrogant disdain was so palpable that the Wall Street Journal chose to feature it on the front page of the Monday edition. In a striking photograph taken by Christopher Tiplar, Obama was pictured with his nose to a 45-degree angle, standing next to George Bush, whose face, furrowed from the effects of 8 years in office, was bowed deep in prayer. In the photo, former President Bush comes across as just the sort of humble and reverent man that many believe he is. Obama appears to hold himself above the proceedings, uncomfortable among the ordinary folk gathered for the occasion and deeply contemptuous of everyone there. When it came time to speak, Obama read woodenly and haltingly, no sense of emotion, all from the prepared text on his teleprompter. What did he do when he was going to school? They didn't have teleprompters. Did he write little notes in his hand? Well, so the next day, the Boston Gazette comes out and calls a study in contrast Obama delivered an unattributed and ill-prepared reading of Psalm 46. The audience seemed dumbfounded as to the point of his selection, and Obama offered no clues as to his intent. It was as if the teleprompter itself had recited Psalm 46 and then shut down, smugly remote, above it all. And then Junior Bush rose and addressed the grieving families from the fullness of his heart. Don't kid yourself. Many of us have no use for the Bush family. I always felt that Junior was pushed into the office, much as his brother may one day or his nephew may one day. But I believe that Bush does have a heart. Maybe it comes about as you begin to look back on history and begin to question what you've done. But Bush read from a letter by Abraham Lincoln to a mother who had lost 5 sons in battle. Like Lincoln, who signed his letter, "Yours very sincerely and respectfully," Bush managed to convey his deep sense of respect and regard for the assembled 9/11 families. It was surely no accident that those in attendance, including thousands of family members of the victims, broke into spontaneous applause at the conclusion of Bush's remarks. And while Obama fulfilled his responsibilities on 9/11, he appeared to do so ungraciously, as if he resented having to commiserate with them ordinary folk. Or perhaps he was upset at having to share the stage with his predecessor. Maybe he was simply uncomfortable at having to appear before an unvetted audience of ordinary citizens, men and women who were not hand-selected members of a public sector union or students at a liberal university. Perhaps Obama feared that his audience of real Americans would allow their real feelings toward him to be known. Ah, my friends, no danger of that. You see, the audience who gathered to commemorate 9/11 at Ground Zero was fully cognizant of the dignity of the somber occasion. They had too much respect for the significance of the occasion to allow politics to enter into it, something that could not be said for Vice President Biden in his remarks at the Pentagon that very morning. And so the audience greeted Obama with respect and all observed the 4 months of silence, 4 moments of silence, marking the moments when the 4 planes crashed into the World Trade Center towers. Matters not how they got there or who was controlling them. The Pennsylvania field, the Pentagon, all was done with reverent silence. Most bowed their heads in sorrowful reflection. Many wept. But Obama did not. He stood through most of the ceremony, gazing off into the blue as if he were some kind of grande above it all. No tears ran down his face, even as Bush fought back his emotions, and Laura Bush wept openly. Obama's nonverbal message that day was, "I'm not one of you. The war on terror that America entered on that fateful day is not my war. I am superior. I am privileged. I can do as I wish, and no one can judge me." That, my friends, was the same message that Serena Williams conveyed on the tennis court later that very day. Her condescending tirade against the chair empire, her unwillingness to apologize after the match, and the pointed refusal of those in her box to applaud Samantha Stosur during the awards ceremony conveyed the same sense of contempt for the most basic rules of conduct. For whatever reasons, we'll conclude after we return from the break.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now, 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
We are back for just a few moments. We are having some technical difficulties during the break. So you had commercials and lengthy music, I hope. And anyway, hopefully we're back. Thanks for the patience. You know, live radio will do things like that. And, you know, it's just not a lot you can do with it. That stuff do take place. Thank you, Dave, my good friend Dave up in Boise, Idaho. I may be getting up there. Looks like it's going to be spring again before it happens. I don't know. I may get ticked off and come up there for Thanksgiving. I'll have to see what happens. Speaking before the break, talking about, I know I'm not going to finish this before we have to go to the next break, talking about the comparisons between the arrogance of both a Serena Williams also a Barack Obama over the course of the weekend. For whatever reasons, I guess, perhaps the belief in their own superiority to other mortals, or perhaps because they share the same chip on their shoulders, because they have bought into the myth of racial victimhood, because they believe that their so-called disadvantaged background somehow exempts them from the ordinary rules of behavior, both the player and the player embarrass themselves and their country on Sunday for the sake of the game and of our nation. And I'm not sure that we know where that line of separation is, the game of the nation. One can only hope that both of them set a better example in the future. It is, I'm afraid, doubtful that that will happen. We have seen an arrogance, a growth of greater arrogance in the Black community since Barack Obama took up residency in the White House. If some of you are finding that offensive, or offensive that I would even stoop to the level of talking about it, too bad. Get over it. It is reality. It's what we see. It's what I certainly see out here in my own community. It is almost as if they were all living in their homes and refused to ever come out until the day Barack Obama was elected president. And the fact of the matter is that the Black community, so-called self-avowed African Americans in this country, are actually growing more and more on the poverty list, getting short-shafted since this guy took office. Not that George Bush treated them ever so kindly. You remember the arrogance of a Kanye West during a fundraiser after Hurricane Katrina when he got up there and made some disparaging remarks about George Bush Jr., calling him a racist because of the poor treatment of the Black community in Katrina. Kanye West would never understand what the hell poor treatment is. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrive, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. I got those icy, icy fingers up and down my spine. The same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. That same old I feel inside.
Welcome back. You know, as I sit here day after day and have to determine exactly what to share with you commentary-wise, some days are easier than others. I don't run from a particular issue because it's politically incorrect. I know that we have people of color who listen to this program, people who are Hispanic in background, people who are African American. In background, I personally hate the hyphenated African-American. You're an American first who comes from an African heritage. That's one thing. But and I feel the same way when you talk about Italian-American, Irish-American. Well, it's just it's garbage. Vietnamese-American. No. Just cut the crap. You're either an American first or you're not. Okay. You may be of another nation, but your heritage, your lineage, or where you were actually born before you migrated here, legally or otherwise. But there are many who won't touch the issue, and yet I find most of those who listen to RBN, no matter what their color, no matter what their religion, no matter what their background. We have Jewish families that listen to this network, and that may come as a surprise to some. It is a reality factor. Anyone who is going to broadcast on the alternative meeting who chooses not to use their own real name for whatever reasons, I find cowardly. If you're going to run from a subject because it may offend someone, you are cowardly. Unquestionably, most Democrats have a gift for effective political speech. Only liberal Democrats are capable of making their ruinous policies sound like genius ideas created by majestic celestial beings. The Democrats' one-of-a-kind ability to attractively present their poisonous policies is outrageously underrated by Republicans who aren't too bright themselves, because they've done very little to improve their own ability to package and present their clearly superior political product. Clearly superior political product? Let me tell you something. They both package crap. But as a consequence of gross Republican inarticulateness, the Democrats have triumphed in the battle of making membership in their party an integral part of black identity, so much so that blackness in America no longer has much to do with skin color or culture or even the unique African-American experience of historical discrimination. Being black in America today has turned into a political status that can be blithely bestowed on a personage such as Bill Clinton, despite his obvious whiteness or pinkness and racist ties, and can be nonchalantly revoked from someone like Alan West, who is black in the truest American context. Manifestly, in order to maintain black validity in American society today, being a card-carrying member of the Democrat Party is a fixed obligation. This insidious combination of racial identity and politics is perhaps one of the Democrats' most potent structural tools to ensure the black community's perpetual allegiance to their cause. And why? What have the Democrats done for the blacks? Oh, they want to... We were the ones who pushed the civil rights movement. Therefore, we're the good guys. Liberals pleadingly call for a egalitarian society where there is a separation of church and state, whereas they themselves have hypocritically created a repressive system where blackness and state have no observable dividing line. And due to the fact that faithlessness to the Democrat Party has been so intermingled with black racial identity, destroying the Democrats' satanic stranglehold on the black vote must involve more than simply pushing the Republican agenda. There first must be an intellectual annihilation of the nonsensical notion that racial and political identity should be indistinguishable. And when this lethal link is broken, people will no longer see the terms black and Republican as oxymoronic. Oh, let's see, there was a time that there were some notable black Republicans, Colin Powell, who seemed to switch sides and support Obama, maybe just because of his color. Then, of course, there was Muammar Gaddafi's love, who, I hate to say it, is a real lady in the sense of the word. What the heck was her name? Oh, God, it's driving me crazy. I'm getting hungry. I begin to forget things. Our former Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice. Doesn't matter what you think of her politics or anything else. She, in fact, conducted herself as a lady, very much unlike the current, the woman who calls herself First Lady. In 1998, Nobel Prize-winning writer Toni Morrison gave Bill Clinton the preposterous sobriquet of America's first black president because, according to her, he displayed almost every trope of blackness. Single-parent household, was born poor, working class, saxophone playing, McDonald's and junk food-loving boy from Arkansas. But clearly she forgot one descriptor, one very distinct and important descriptor, that Bill Clinton was also a Democrat. No white Republican today could ever be endearingly called black, even if he or she grew up in Harlem, the two adoptive black parents. Could rap like Jay-Z, dance like Michael Jackson, or cook fried chicken better than Popeyes in Louisiana? Rather, being a card-carrying member of the Republican Party causes even real black people to have their racial authenticity disputed. Remarkably, however, Bill Clinton was considered the first black president for years before liberals finally got Obama, a mixed-race man whom they could pass off as black. My God, if I were someone of the caliber of an Alan West or even Cain, I think it's Herman Cain, I think his name is, who's running for the presidency on the Republican side. These people would be embarrassed to be considered a part of the same race as a Barack Hussein Obama. But then our discussion right now happens to be about Bill Clinton, the same Bill Clinton who interned for and was mentored by a noted segregationist, J. William Fulbright, during the 1960s, a man to whom he later gave the prestigious Presidential Medal of Freedom during his tenure as POTUS. That's President of the United States, when Clinton was there in the 90s. Without question, my friends, only a white Democrat could get away with having such strong ties with odious segregationists while still wearing the amorously symbolic title of the first black president. You see, clearly being a Democrat covers up a multitude of anti-black sins. Even Barack Obama, a mixed-race man whose black heritage is strikingly distant from black American heritage, is considered to be both the realization and the embodiment of Martin Luther King's dream, despite the fact that Obama was elected not because of the estimable content of his character, neither was he voted into office for any other reason than the color of his skin. Clearly, my friends, if one were using any explicitly American historical template, it would be much more historically accurate to dispute the blackness of a half-white, half-Kenyan man, or it might be all Kenyan, than it would be to dismiss or dispute the blackness of an Allen West or a Herman Cain, whose ancestry would trace back to Western Africa and the Atlantic slave trade. Of course, this historical analysis is neglected because, A, race is merely a political tool for the Democrats, and B, Republicans are too damn timid to talk about race beyond their picayune squabbles against artificial foes like hyphenated Americanism and their championing of bizarre propositions like social colorblindedness. What is it that causes a black man like Herman Cain to have his blackness openly questioned by an illiterate grimalkin and white liberal like Jeanine Garofalo? What is it that causes a black man like Allen West to be disparaged by white liberals for calling himself the modern-day Harriet Tubman? Why is it that the first black president, Bill Clinton, gets a pass for likening Republican attempts to limit felons' voting as an attempt to return to Jim Crow? And why is it that an idiot like Al Gore gets a pass for suggesting that people who assert the basic fact that carbon dioxide does not drive world temperature or morally equal to Bull Connor? Oh, these are all Democrats. I guess clearly being a Democrat gives even liberals with substantial deficits in melanin the authority to professionally dictate what constitutes black validity and acceptability. Yet meanwhile, the result of being a Republican is an automatic revocation of the privilege to cite black history while making political points, even when such a Republican is indisputably black. You see, the only explanation for why white liberal Democrats have the unmitigated gall to brazenly question the blackness of black right-wingers is because blackness has been hijacked and politicized to the point where the terms black and Democrat are inseparable. You know, it's interesting. I read a piece the other day. Marcus, a black guy who's big in the Tea Party. And I read this piece probably a year ago. And it came around again. And I was astonished by it. Such a well-written piece. And if it had not been pointed out to me by the person who sent it to me that the author happened to have been black, there's no way you would have guessed it. You see, in order for the Republicans and the right to rectify this ridiculous situation, the iniquitous Democrat plot must first be exposed. Secondly, the right must create a more cohesive message on the issue of race in order to recapture the black vote that they have in essence ceded. Ceded meaning to give up, to walk away from in this particular instance. And yet, sadly, however, different factions of the conservative movement have different messages, which is not an effective way to create a powerful and sonorous message. For the separation of blackness and state to occur, Republicans must act as the agent of separation. And this will entail the jettisoning of the timidity that has characterized the right-wing approach to the issue of race, as well as adopting a more robust form of argumentation in order to show how conservative policies are superior for the creation of wealth and opportunity within not just the black community, but within all communities. Oh, but let's be honest. Certainly the Republican Party will never get every black vote, nor can the Republican Party be all things to all people, as the saying goes. And it's most assured that the Democrats are not all things to all people. They seem to be many things to the downtrodden and the poverty-struck. Keep them on the dole, they'll keep voting for you. There are some people in any group who are lazy, who do not want any part in a political platform that encourages hard work in exchange for wealth and opportunity. They will always sanguinely advocate for a socialist nanny state. Fortunately, however, those who are black are not the majority of black people, and there is precisely no reason for the vast majority of hardworking blacks to vote Democratic. But then I sit back here and say, there's precisely no reason for the vast majority of hardworking Americans to vote for either Democrat or Republican. But having said that, Republicans must snip the dangerous tie between blackness and state. For black unemployment right now is higher than it has been for 27 years, and a so-called president who has been evidently mum on issues regarding the black plight. There are those who are optimistic about the prospects of race and politics being separated before Tuesday, November the 6th, 2012. Copy this day by an individual who passes himself or writes under the name of Childlike Okeem, freelance writer. Very interesting. Don't know what color he is. I would almost be willing to bet he might be a black conservative. Maybe he's even a Republican. Who cares? He's got a note from Granny. Fires continue to expand across Texas. I was scheduled to be in her neighborhood Thursday. Would have had to travel down Highway 287, which is now closed. Firefighters have asked to stop all train traffic so they can get to the blaze. Yeah, brush fire in western Montague County. People need water. They need rain badly. 70 days this year, over 100 degrees in Texas. Up in Montague, it was 107 that day with a steady breeze at 20 miles an hour, humidity in the low teens. Real good fire conditions. And where's Obama with the federal planes that help put fires like that out? It's probably out on the golf course somewhere. Some interesting commentary. I hope you found it raised some eyebrows. Certainly some things worth thinking about. But remember, the issue is not just a black and white or a black and political. There are those in this country who, as we discussed the other evening, the phenomenal percentages of both blacks and Hispanics who supported Obama in his last campaign and run for residency at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It'll be interesting to see how many of those drop off. Oh, they'll either support one of the Republicans as an alternative, or they'll support no one and not cast a vote, which the jury's still out on. Is it worth casting the vote or not? Let's take a look at something here real quick. Manny, heads up. Can we pass this ad? Oh, we're already running. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants. And moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
We're going to go with shortening up of the music because I got to take care of a little bit of network business here. Welcome back to the final moments of life, liberty, and all that jazz. We put an interesting package together today, and I got a couple of really interesting emails from folks saying, my God, I wish you'd put more packages like this together. The Chapman special we put for the week together for the week is called the 9/13 Mixed Bag. Today's date is 9/13, of course. This very much is a mixed bag. It's the kind of package I love to be able to pull together for our listeners and our clients, including this one includes a mixed selection of silver, a highly desirable South American gold piece, heavier than a British sovereign or an American eagle, as well as a nice selection of small, barterable 1/10 ounce gold pieces, trade ducats from the Netherlands, and a whole bunch of disappearing silver pieces. Each one of these packages contains 7 1927-28 Netherlands trade ducats. These coins weigh 0.1103 of an ounce of gold each. That's heavier than a 10th-ounce eagle. One each of the Uruguayan Cinco Peso. The net gold content on that coin is 0.2501, slightly heavier than an American eagle and certainly more so than a British sovereign. The package also includes 20 each 1-ounce Johnson & Matthey Freedom of Speech silver medallions, or rounds as it were. 10 1986 French Piedfort Statue of Liberties. It was the French version of the Americans' commemorative coin commemorating the 100th anniversary of the French having given us the Statue of Liberty. 5 1-ounce Engelhart Prospector rounds in silver, and 5 1977 French Hercules coins in silver. My friends, these are first come, first served. When they're gone, they're gone. I've never been able to put this kind of a package together in all the years I've been in business. Your price, including shipping, $3,985. That's delivered. You give us a call tonight, 1-800-691-7898. Let us know that you want to offer the 913 mixed bag. Send me an email if it's faster. gold@republictradinggroupinternational.com. Let me know that you want one of the 913 packages. I'll send you back a confirmation with all the payment instructions. Feel free to send us a check on this package. Be glad to do it. We've only got 5 of these packages left. Send me the email, gold@republictradinggroupinternational.com, or call me after the program at 1-800-691-7898. And yes, if you call and get your reservation in tonight, you will get your receipt of you will receive your choice of a free subscription to Bob Chapman's International Forecaster newsletter, a subscription extension or renewal, if you will, a gift subscription. Give us a call. Special number 753, the 913 mixed bag. This is a great mixture of gold and silver, some unusual silver pieces, some that are highly recognizable. I like the Statue of Liberties, if for no other reason to use them as gifts. Most of it, stash it, put it away. You never know when you're going to need it. That's the 913 mixed bag, package number 753. I say we only have 5 of these packages left. Take advantage of them. It's a really nice mixture. Listen, it's the first time I've been able to put a package together for a long time for under $4,000 where we are able to provide you with a subscription to Chapman's newsletter. Thanks for allowing me to be here tonight. Lord willing, I'll be back. Don't forget, Roger Sales up with us tomorrow night. It's going to be one interesting hour. We'll see you then. Without apology, I am out of here.
That suit my taste. And your fingertips, they cannot be replaced. Oh, baby, what you got, nobody has. And I got you, yes, I got you, I got you, and all that jazz, and all that jazz.
The next round of the